Booking.com. I'm going to somewhere, anywhere. A beach house, a tree house. Honestly, I don't care.
Are you dreaming about your next holiday? Go to Booking.com and easily find your perfect holiday home. Booking.com.
Yeah.
The password is kumquat. We saw open marriage, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How to Discrepate. Gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Can't you know you won that How to Discrepate? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made. I'm your host, Paul Scheer, a.k.a. Tall John, and today we are talking about another Lifetime original film. This one is called Open Marriage, and it is about a couple who decides to have an open marriage, and then the dire consequences that come with it. There are murders, guns, pregnancies, and sex clubs, so much to get into. Here to break it all down are my two co-hosts. Please welcome Jason Manzoukas and June Diane Raphael. How are you both?
Wow. This was a watch. This really explored open marriage, I thought, very fairly, very thoughtfully.
What I
well,
liked about
know,
this.
Well, you know, Jason, when a couple, when a woman is struggling with fertility, you know, as so many women do, the first step is always open marriage.
Yep.
You know, that's a very honestly tired narrative.
That's, yes.
We just see it over and over again.
This is maybe the most I've ever stopped a movie while watching to make sure I was watching the right movie. I was certain multiple times I must be watching a different open marriage.
I not only stopped the movie twice because I was like, oh, no, this can't be it. Because this is, and I know we've done a lot of movies that, you know, revolve around sexual activity and complicated sexual activity. We've talked about fuck pillows here on the show, but...
Fuck pillows.
Yeah, I say it the same.
I know. Don't worry about it.
But this is the closest to porn that we've ever gotten to in a way without nudity. Like it is basic cable porn, right?
It felt like a Skinamax type movie. But you're saying your intro is the first thing that clued me into that it was a Lifetime movie. And now
I was surprised to hear that it was a Lifetime
movie.
Now that makes sense. It seemed actually, though, both too sexy and not enough of a thriller or a romance to be a Lifetime film.
Oh, see,
in terms of my standards for Lifetime.
Oh, that's interesting, because I feel like, oh, because it's a Lifetime film, that's why it didn't go further. Because I felt like it was like a porno, or it felt like they were shooting a porno and then were like, okay, we're going to do one take where everybody does nothing at the end, where the sex scene doesn't happen. You know,
There is this idea. I mean, there's so much going on here. I mean,
but while simultaneously having nothing going on,
nothing. I mean, nothing.
There are six people in this movie.
And by the way, four main characters.
Sets.
Yeah, three sets. One, which do you recognize one of the sets from this film?
Wait. Okay, I did. Is their loft the same loft as, you know, I'm not going to remember the movie we did, but there's another
Deadly
movie.
Deadly Photographer?
Yes. Is it the same loft?
Down to the lava lamps in the window.
What?
It is the same exact loft.
Wow.
The Lifetime location manager, hard at work, knocking down another solid.
They must just own these buildings.
You know what I thought was weird, though? Like, why not choose a different exterior for that loft? Like, that loft could be anywhere.
Yes.
And that exterior was, like, a strange storefront.
It looked
almost
like an abandoned, like, store where you used to buy lights. Like, a light fixture. Like,
yeah.
It did not look
residential at all.
No.
And I know that's the point in some ways, but it just seemed very wrong.
That's not where people live. People don't live
on a ground floor
entrance loft. Like, that
is... You couldn't get plumbing it's just not zoned for that.
It's like a building without windows. And, like, that's the other thing, too. Like, isn't a loft, like, part of it is... There are windows. Like that, they look like an Adobe front. Like there was no front window
there was,
to it.
Yes, there was no light coming in except for on the second floor. That's where, like what would be the second floor? That's where all the windows were.
And what does
but
this
I do
man
think that's
do?
Pretty standard for Lifetime lofts, though, is that there's never any windows so they can shoot.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, morning, noon, and night. They're shooting
when he walked
constantly.
Outside. He walked outside at one point, and it was jarring. I forget what I thought it was. I mean, this movie does shoot from night to day. Like, when they meet that couple by the pool, their very rich friend, they're like, oh, we got to go. It's
oh my
getting
God.
Late.
Wait, we got to talk about the introduction of this movie is basically the same as the season two of White Lotus characters. This foursome is the same setup as Megan, Faye, Theo, James, I'm forgetting the other actor's name, and Aubrey Plaza. The four of them. One couple is rich. The guys are friends from college. There's a sexual frisson between them. Like, there is...
Are you accusing Mike White?
No. Down to the fact...
Ripping off...
Down to the fact that the rich couple says to the other couple, we never fight. That is episode one of White Lotus. They have the same, it's the same conversation.
Let's listen to it.
So being rich gives you guys better sex too? Come on, guys.
Yeah, what's with you two today?
Well, actually, that's the point. You see, it's not just us two.
What's not just us two?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Mindy and I have been on an extraordinary adventure. We've opened our marriage.
It's a whole new glorious world.
Wait, so you guys are having sex with other people?
Yes.
Isn't that dangerous? Like playing with fire?
It is, but playing with fire is what makes it so hot.
Until you get burned.
I mean, that opening and the way that they talk to each other, I'm creeped out by this couple immediately. They seem like they are best of friends, but yet they've just met.
Best of friends, and that's worst of enemies.
Wait, have they just met? Because I thought they all went to college together.
Yes, they all went to college together. Yes.
They act like...
Oh, they seem like they just
yeah,
met.
Yeah, they seem like so static, and they seem so
well. There's
like,
no there's
formal.
No ease to them. There's no comfort. There's no they don't seem to have a lived in relationship. Mostly,
but isn't that the point? That's because they're like new again. You know, they've got that new sort of chemistry and texture to the relationship.
They have that new money.
Well, and also
from
because
big
Mindy,
sale on Rodeo.
Yeah, and Mindy's a blonde now because blondes have more fun.
Ugh. I wanted to straighten out her hair. I was so happy when it was straightened at the end.
Paul!
I just felt like something was off. Like, I like a curl. I like a frizz. I like, but it felt like that wasn't, I felt like that was not her natural way of looking. And she put that on. And I was relieved at the end when it was revealed that she actually had straight hair. I was
see,
like, yes.
I don't know if you're right about it. I never knew you to be so anti-curl, first
wow.
of all.
This is
upsetting. And because my hair is naturally curly and I never wear curly.
Yeah. No, it's not like that.
June, you've like said that, in the but... past, you've said in the past that you like a bigger boy. Paul is here to say no curls.
It's really... I'm really surprised, Paul. I think that is her natural
I agree.
And in fact, when I saw her with straight hair, I was like, something's amiss.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, I felt like everything worked. The actress
is naturally curly.
Producer yes, Molly
exactly.
chiming in. Okay, well,
but it also allowed us to, it allowed us and her, it allowed us insight when in later in the movie, she becomes the straight-haired lady in white.
Ooh, she's doing a lot of work. With, a like, lot of work.
The like they, I feel like that prop mask covered in feathers. They were like, no, more feathers. Put more feathers on it.
Just so you know, there is a there's a thriller aspect to this film.
Oh,
we
God.
Open up with a bloody alarm clock
on the
white carpet.
The kind of clock that's made that you get at like a flea market. It's made of like old pipes and screws.
I was like, it looked like the worst thing in an antique store. The thing in the antique store that
that's
doesn't
brand
move.
New. It's brand literally new. Assembled in a. It's like from a flea market. It's like it's crazy.
Well, the hair's going to come back into play because in that opening shot, we see a bloody. We see the bloody alarm clock, and then we also see a straight-haired blonde woman.
In a white, like, night.
In a white negligee, yep. fall to the ground.
Yes.
And here's the thing. It's a thriller. Who did this? Who is dead? There are four people, and two of them are women, and two of them are blonde. It's not.
Well, don't forget about Angelique.
Well, Angelique is not a blonde, and Angelique is barely in this movie. Angelique is one line or two lines above background.
There is,
and not that, and she's
well,
great.
Well, don't forget
she's
about
great.
The bouncer of Open for Business, Indiri or Indigo. What's her name?
Oh my Ione. Gosh. This poor woman has to both let everybody in and man the bar herself.
Volnavia. Who runs the sex club, which is called
Open for Business.
Which, by the way,
I love.
What is this place? Open for Business.
It's an underground club. Mindy found it.
There's this app called Caligula that shows all the nearest hotspots for open-minded people like us.
I wasn't expecting to do this with total strangers.
Yeah.
Stop worrying. You can just watch, no pressure.
Password.
Kumquat.
I am Volnavia, and we only have three rules here. Number one, anything, and I mean anything, goes. Number two, if anything doesn't go, well, tonight's safe word is suspenders. And number three, have fun.
Okay, I loved this call over business. I loved every single password and safe word.
Yes.
Every time I heard them, I was like, wow, this writer is so careless in so many other ways. And the dialogue is so terrible, except for the passwords and safe words.
Yes.
From kumquat to suspenders to Romeo.
Yeah.
To there was another password.
There was
that
one that was really simple. It was like I felt like it was like balloons. I was like, wait, what? Like all of a sudden you didn't go sexual.
I'm gonna need to spend the next roughly hour discussing the fact that there's an app.
Yeah,
there's
and what's the purpose?
It's a grinder.
Is the app just to tell you what today's password is? But it also it also outs people who are. What could make this sex club be shut down more than them just blasting out pictures from inside the sex club?
And why are you allowed to take out
that
your phone?
The mayor gets these photos.
Okay, obviously, by the way, the mayor is 1,000% like on that app because otherwise,
cool
I don't
marriage.
Know how what's her face would have gotten him those photos. So here's what I'm now thinking, because in the beginning, we find this couple and they are just recently rich people. So they've just like come into a lot of money because he sold a property on Rodeo Drive.
The less specific,
now,
the better. Property on Rodeo Drive.
That's enough for me. But I'm now thinking like Mindy has probably made a lot of money creating the tech for that app and also having some sort of a stake in the Club Caligula.
Wait, you think that Mindy is somehow the owner or co-owner or ghost owner of Club Caligula and that she...
And more importantly, the app.
Right, because she is sending out the texts.
Yes.
Is
she
sending
seems to have
them
control over the technology.
Oh, wow. Okay. Whoa. So, and she is actually the lady in white who is being worshipped at the club constantly. So is
because
it her club?
Because that house
club?
Didn't make sense. I think it's her club. I think it's her app.
Is this all a grand scheme just to get... To be, because this is also like this movie is, you're right. This movie wants to be an erotic thriller a la Fatal Attraction or Basic Instinct or something. And there's a little bit of single white female to it as well. So is
very
whole,
little at the end
is
jammed
her whole
in there
plan just to do this whole all these machinations just so that she can have Becca's life or
well,
because
no,
she's
because,
in love with Becca.
Well, wait, hold on. But then you would also have to say
what's
that
her goal, I guess.
Her goal would be like. If what you're saying is true, June, because what you're saying is things that happened that are true, but for this plan to have worked, she must have been like, I want an open relationship so much. What I'm going to first do is make the club in the app. Then I'm going to bring it and introduce it to my husband years after we've been together. So she's doing that on the side, gets her husband on board, and then pretends to be like, oh my gosh, I found this app. But the truth is, she doesn't even really want to go to that club because she's already got her mind on the person that she wants Anyway.
Well, I never know why they really needed to go to the club except for her.
I was just
going to
say.
Except for her to get collateral on Becca.
They felt like the club was there to only to damage them. They'd already opened up their marriages to each other. Also, correct me if I'm wrong, having never been to a sex club, do you frequently go to a sex club, find a room to have sex in, and then fall asleep at the club?
Okay,
wait,
so
is that how works? Do you
wait,
go
that
to
was...
do you, when you go and you fuck on a couch at a sex club, do you then go to bed?
Listen. I believed, I was like, oh, wow, this is so, what a perfect detail that this guy fucks and immediately falls asleep.
Oh,
like, that
and they
to
all
me
do.
Lined up.
They
perfect.
All do, well, all four
but
of
they
them.
All, but then I realized they are all asleep.
All four
which
of them
made me think
go to
Lavinia
bed.
Yes. Maybe drugged them?
I mean, well, look, what? She's serving pretty strong Sex on the Beach and Harvey Wallbanger. By the way, the best detail of the whole club was that they only serve, like, sexually,
yeah.
Like, you can't have a gin and tonic. You have to have, like, a blowjob.
Also,
like, you know,
this
like,
is a sex club with a maximum of 7 other people and upwards of 10 mannequins wearing bondage gear. If
by
there
the way,
are multiple
also,
shots where the
yes,
people in the background are a mixture of real people and mannequins,
which is one of
I
my
did
favorite
not
episodes,
know that.
Which
I did
was
not see
chilling.
That.
One
I
of my
did
favorite
not
episodes
see
of Scare Tactics, which June and I think we've talked about on the show about
best
mannequins.
Best episode of television ever.
But I will also say, there was a part of me that thought that this sex club could also be a vampire club because Volnavia, when she brings them in, is acting like that opening scene in Blade. I was like, are they going to be... Are these vampires? Why is Volnavia looking
would have
both
been
ways?
Incredible. I agree.
Yeah,
that would have been incredible if there was... Here's the thing. If there was more to anything, this movie would have been good. What I kept misunderstanding was, what is this movie about? And at the end of the day, the answer is nothing. There is no story to this movie. Events?
Yes, there
events
is, Jason.
Keep happening.
The big story is, if you are an infertile man...
Oh, boy.
You need to loosen up, fuck your friend, and then your chances of getting your wife pregnant will go up. And
holy
that is
shit.
The moral. The moral is,
I think
like,
you're
on
right
some
in a way.
Level.
I
it's
think
like,
you're right. I think that his sperm was...
Responded to the competition?
Reticent.
Yeah.
Yes. His sperm was not, and I don't know the science to back this up, but I do think that's a story we were being told.
Yes.
That because they were sort of like having sex by rote just to reproduce... They had no fire in it. And I think on some level, his sperm was
bored?
Responding to
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
he
my favorite,
until, you
my,
know.
Yeah. My favorite was when they cut to the backyard grill. The two dudes in this movie never wear a shirt.
Okay,
never,
Ron is
like,
more guilty.
Never.
Ron is more
Ron
guilty.
Is
Ron
never
is like
wearing
watching
a shirt.
Football at home
yes.
without a shirt.
Ron,
like, Ron
is never,
never in a shirt.
Never shirted.
Okay,
but both
did
of them,
you see... Did you see, sorry to interrupt.
No,
you,
go
did
ahead.
Did you see Ron's tattoo?
How could
Who
you
didn't?
Miss it, June?
Okay, not the one, not that one. There's another tattoo. There's the big one, obviously, but then there's...
Oh, maybe not.
There's a line of there's a saying on his arm.
Did okay. you,
that
can you
just
see what it
simply
says?
Says?
Oh boy.
Out of line.
What?
What? Open for business, out of line.
Whoa.
Out of line.
Incredible. My,
and
so,
I was like,
yeah.
that's definitely the actor's tattoo.
Oh, all of it is. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
fascinated by that.
Out
and,
of
and
line.
How,
out
he's
of line.
Never wearing a shirt.
I wrote, put and, on a shirt, man.
No way. I was like, thank God. They're both topless. They're both shirts off at the grill. And it starts with them. It starts with a close-up of the meat on the grill. Comes up to them. The two dudes just standing there. And Ron goes, so my fertility test came back.
And it's like one of those bad
like
Viagra
this is incredible.
Ads.
Yes. It feels like this whole movie is a series of infomercials.
Okay, so I had a really weird experience where Paul and I were watching Paul T. Goldman last night, which I love so much, and
wow.
I fell
Jason
asleep.
Wild
stuff.
Amazing.
Wild stuff. And I fell asleep while watching it, and then Paul had switched over to this movie. And so I was sort of in a fugue state where I couldn't tell the difference between the reenactments of the movie that Paul T. Goldman is shooting and this film.
I get
because
it.
Because there were a lot of like similarities where I was like,
the dialogue,
like it feels familiar. Yeah, it was very distressing.
I mean, there are some moments here where, you know, when they first decide to open their marriage to their friends. They go over in a room that is the most stark, uncomfortable, unsexy room to have a foursome. And by the way, they don't have a foursome. They
swipe swap kind of.
They wipe swap.
This is the weird thing that I didn't really understand. Like, to me, the rules of their open marriage were we have to all be together, which I was like,
okay.
I mean, honestly, to everyone, you know, to each their own. But I'm like, that's a really specific experience. Like, I just didn't understand why it wasn't up for grabs that they could each have their own experience. Like, why? It's an extra kink on a kink. It's a hat on a hat to be like, we all have to be in there.
Well, that's part of it.
There's also a strange thing, which is like, those are Mindy and Max's rules, but Ron and Becca just adopt the exact same rules. They don't, there's no conversation about what are our rules going to be for this open marriage. It's just like, well, we're going to do Mindy and Max and that's that, you know?
Well, like, yeah, that's what kind of what I wanted to say. It's like, not that, you know, these Mindy and Max would seem like two people you'd want to have sex with, but it's like, well, there are other people. If you decide you're going to have to have an open marriage, they're like, expand your imagination. Well,
they make it very clear. Multiple times they make it clear to be like, hey, when we go to this sex club, we're just there to watch. We're not going to get involved with anybody else. Now, everybody else in that club, or you see people in that club, two men are against one woman. But these guys, I mean, part of me is like, come on, let's get Ron and Max to kiss.
You want to eat two mama tambien this?
At the end,
I really thought that was going to be the thing.
For sure.
That would never happen is that nobody kissed in this movie until minute 22.
Because of the shoulder tattoos.
This is the kind of movie that I would have found like on cable in high school and been like, oh shit, I'm going to watch this and I'm going to see some dirty stuff. And I would have been crestfallen that there not only wasn't dirty stuff, but it was boring. You know, the sex scenes were so much so that I wrote a number of times in my notes. Is it possible this is a Christian or a movie that is like secretly not like there is no sex, there is no nudity, there is no cursing, it's a very chaste movie for something that has such an erotic, theoretically storyline.
And can I also just add to that? This movie came out in 2017. There's a tone here that feels
very 90s.
Well, 90s, I was going to say like a little like anti-gay. Like, or the
a
way.
Little.
I mean, yeah. Cause,
yeah. Like, I mean, Dylan's basically like all homosexuals are in open marriages. Yeah.
And he also says in gay land. He says like in gay land,
and
we
then
all
dances
fuck
off,
each other.
Dances off to like a Lady Gaga concert. No, it was absolutely offensive.
And he's like, yeah, in gay land, everyone fucks each other except if you're ugly.
Well, here's what I'll
it's
say,
like,
though.
Wow, all right.
Here's
wow.
what I'll say to the movie's benefit. It's clear that he's in the best relationship in this movie.
That's sure, but he
very true.
But he also seems
Dylan,
to be like
Dylan's husband is at
and
his
and honestly,
work.
If I trust anyone to like raise a child, it's Dylan.
Oh,
and the husband who we never heard.
Okay,
speak.
Yes. No, when they cut to the husband, Dylan's husband, I was. My jaw dropped. I was like, that's him?
Why
all
not?
Right.
Why make him such a slob kebab? Like, why? It
he
was
looked like
so
a biker.
Strange.
He looked like he was
you
a
know
background
what? I'm not
going to
shame Dylan
movie.
For Dylan's taste. I think their relationship seemed wonderful. I believe in them.
I do too, actually, Jason. I do too.
While we're just talking about Dylan, just want to reference that Dylan is, you know, the friend of our main character, Becca. And they work in a critical care unit. At one point, Ron calls her and says, hey, don't work too hard. And I thought to myself, she's working in a critical care unit in a hospital. Like, work hard.
Yeah.
Definitely work hard. Put some time in.
That's something you say to someone on like the factory line.
Yeah.
She just seems to be working in the reception.
And he's at home watching the game, eating Doritos out of a glass bowl.
Okay, you know what I did have? I did have the thought, though. I was like, you know, if you were about to embark on like a major like sexual escapade with a new partner and this and that, like the worst thing I would think for a man is to have your back go out. And I wish they had explored that more. Like, what? Because his back seemed to really be recovering.
Oh, yeah. His workman's comp ran out. So he's already gone through all the months of workman's comp and is still recovering.
But I need to break this down, too, because he seems to fluctuate between being an industrial development construction worker and a literal construction worker, because his injury seems like, oh yeah, I got my back is out from my construction work. But then he's making a bid to the mayor, which means like, okay, so you are on the line, but you also are in the trailer.
Well, that's
like,
very Marcus Lemonis of him.
Yeah, you know, if you want him, he's the boss. You know, and he's 100% in charge.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I agree. Shirtless Ron is simultaneously just fixing cabinet doors in the loft while also putting in bids for city contracts that the mayor signs off on.
That seems like a Cushman Wakefield, which is maybe an LA reference, but like that seems like a giant corporation. Would be like, yes,
no,
we got
he's
the
like a
permit
developer.
To build Staples Center. Yeah,
yes,
it's like he's a developer.
No, I think. Well, that's what they're saying. He's basically saying,
who's
I got the job. You never have to work again in your life.
But that's why I think he's so dumb, because I think essentially. he got a job, you guys, to build a community center, which to me, I'm like, that's not a high rise. That's right. A one floor. Like, I see it as like a rec center type area, maybe a basketball court. Like, that's
indoor or outdoor, Jen?
I think it's both. I think it's like an indoor outdoor type of thing. But that's not, he's not building a bridge.
No,
he's building
but
a community center.
But the
with
the
city
the
money,
that,
a bathroom.
Yeah.
But like,
it's not.
That's
you're right.
It.
I
a
agree.
Bathroom.
She
a
never
bathroom.
Has. Well, okay. Yeah, I think a bathroom. I think a woman's bathroom or two bathrooms at most.
I mean, they are
maybe
in the city of Los Angeles.
Maybe a little snack area. That's it.
I mean, the way that he's talking about it, and the way that he seems to really be like rolling up his sleeves with the mayor, so much so that the mayor, when the mayor gets the text that outs him as, I don't understand.
The mayor got that text. I think the mayor is also freaky as fuck.
Whatever. Okay. What town
is
this?
On the app.
Is this
okay,
LA?
But yes, it is LA.
I think it's LA.
So you're telling me Ron is bidding Ron, who is unemployed on or not unemployed, but on workman's comp with a back injury, is making city bids on a level that this is absolute nonsense. This is I want the movie that's not about their open marriage, that's about their business prospects. I want to know, what is Max up to? What is he selling on Rodeo Drive? And what is Ron building?
Also, like, by the way, like, what I would be, if I was Ron, I would be like, Max, please stop offering, like, your wife to fuck me. Like, I'd rather build your next project.
Yes.
And collaborate.
Again, White Lotus season two. White Lotus season two. Well, but I'm not kidding. It's so weird.
But here's the thing. But we got to watch that, June. But here's the thing. The idea
when you
that,
watch it, you're literally your minds are going to explode at how much overlap there is. It's so funny.
Okay, wait, but now I just want to get to this detail. Like, the mayor fires him for going to a
sex club.
But is that illegal? Like, what? Why
would
you want?
Question two: are sex clubs illegal? Because the way that Volvania is looking around, like you said, Paul, it's as though like. The cops are coming. It's as though like they're going to get caught. But I'm like, are sex like it? You can.
I don't think there's
go.
Anything that like it's also, you know what? The email blast or text blast that gets sent out is only to the people in the group. It's not like it was reported in the media, like city contractor caught in sex scandal.
So wait, so you're saying, OK, so are we to understand
in
that
LA,
when they,
sex clubs are illegal?
Are illegal.
Or no, legal.
Yeah.
Legal.
Or mm-hmm. legal. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Good to know. Here's
and
my question.
Here's our announcement that we are opening one. A lot of people wonder why we don't have more merch. If you've gotten the Drop Dead
here's
Fred vinyl,
question,
come
though.
Hear it at our sex club.
When each of those four show up, is Volvania like giving them a QR code to download the app? Like, are they giving, how did they get
And is Volvania the only employee, period? For real.
She's taking her time.
I think Mindy's in cahoots with her.
Well, Mindy, who we look, we reveal at the end that Mindy's the woman in the white peacock. Everyone in this club is fully out and about. But then there's one woman that's like in a eyes wide shut, feathery bird mask. And we don't know who that is. It's odd that she's the only one with the mask on. But also, there seems to be some background people wearing masks.
Okay, there are some people in the background wearing masks. And a number of the mannequins are also wearing masks. And I'm not kidding.
Okay, so when you say there are mannequins there, are we supposed to think they're people because they couldn't get extras? Or are they just actual mannequins?
I don't know, but I believe maybe a little of both. Because like in wide shots, it's clear that it looks more crowded, but then in some shots right over someone's shoulder is a clear mannequin in like a sexy getup.
I need to see this
again. It is fucked up. The wicker baby carriage is maybe the greatest prop, that and the flea market clock.
The wicker baby carriage is
That is straight from a Lifetime movie that was set in olden days.
That's like from the Banshees of Inishmore. It's like an Anne of Green Gables baby carriage, of course. But this whole movie has like, it feels like used parts because even when the two women, the ladies who lunch, go to speak, they use an exterior of a barbecue restaurant. Like, I couldn't think of a worse place to go talk about your...
Oh, boy. I would love if they were just having ribs while talking about their open marriage.
It's like,
okay,
come on.
Okay, here's what's really weird, though. Like, I was trying to figure out. So Mindy, she has a storyline throughout, which is that she's trying to lose weight. Now, by the end, when she delivers...
Is that a character want, June? When you're working on a character and you want to find that character...
Well, but this is what I couldn't understand. It's like she wants to lose weight to look like Becca, but she is thinner than Becca. So it was very strange. And
single white female of it didn't make any sense because Mindy is the high status character. So it was confusing why she was wanting to be Becca, who's in her own life struggling and trying to figure out with fertility, with money, with her marriage, all of these things. So I'm not sure why Mindy was obsessed with her other than it was predicated on college.
Maybe it's because she was so normal. But
I could have used a flashback.
I would have loved to have known more about Mindy.
But here's the thing. It didn't seem like she wanted to have her life. She just wanted to fuck her husband. Like, it wasn't like when she goes, I'm your biggest fan.
She only wanted to fuck her husband, because that's what Mindy does.
That's what Becca does.
Yeah,
that's why she's sending Becca the flowers. That's why she's obsessed with Becca. They all think she's obsessed with Ron, but she's obsessed with Becca.
But beyond fucking Becca's husband, what else is there? I mean, because the only thing that we get
taking
is
her baby.
This.
Who's the protagonist?
I think
who's
it's
this
Becca.
Movie? Who's this movie Becca? About? Is a movie about Becca or no? I don't think it is.
I think it must be Tilkey. It must be Ron. It's Ron's story because we introduced to Ron with a couple problems. Ron's got a bad back. Ron doesn't have enough money.
Ron has
infertility issues. Yeah. So like Ron's girlfriend, wife leaves him. Like all the issues really are Ron's problems.
I disagree. I feel like we've got Becca, who's got an out of work fiance, wants to have kids, is worried about her finances, is working overtime at the hospital / doctor's offices. It seems like she has way more problems.
And sadly, it's about neither of them. Like, that's the movie's biggest problem we realize that Mindy is the antagonist and that her attention seems to be on both of them. But the movie has no real arc.
Well,
here's the weird part, though.
Like, if you think about Ron and Becca before this proposition, I do agree with the movie on this one part. Piece, which is, I think that Ron and Becca will be happier having gone through this. I don't think they would have made it at all had they not.
No, they're, well, also, I think they're doomed.
I don't know, Jason.
Really?
I do think there's a lot of trauma bonding. I do.
Oh,
I don't think the open marriage did, but I think the trauma, by the way, my favorite part of the whole movie was when Ron shook the hand of the police officer before he left.
I love that that's it. Like the police just walk out.
They
walk
out.
We did it. You don't have to come.
Someone.
You don't have to come to
the
station.
Like,
nope.
Hey, we got a murder in here. We got a report of a murderer dead here. Okay, see you later.
Becca in one night murders her best friend with a flea market clock, then finds out her husband is the father of her baby. Like, by the way, what the fuck is happening?
I will also say that Mindy shoots that gun multiple times in that apartment. I mean, that loft.
We saw the exteriors.
Above.
We saw the exteriors. There's no windows. It's sound. It's
and
soundproof.
Also, like, gunshots are no thing there.
You might be right that might be the best part of Ron's performance. I'm going to say the best part of Mindy's performance was the party at the end of the movie before she, you know, reveals herself to be the killer. And she turns to her audience, a crowd of people, and goes, "Let them eat cake."
Yes.
And everyone's like, "Yay!" It would be like, it was so, she's not engaging them. No one's looking at her. She just says, "Let them eat cake." And everyone's like on board. It's not a sex party. It's nothing. What is, like, what control does she have over them?
And I felt like that party, too, because they're both, the Becca is wearing the gold dress. They're both in these gold, sparkly dresses that Mindy has bought for both of them. And it's Mindy's birthday and blah. It felt like that scene was going to build to something, and it just doesn't. Nothing ends up happening at the birthday.
I thought for sure that dress was going to lead us somewhere.
That would be significant. It was seated earlier, so here we are. We're finally at the dress scene, and nothing happens.
Nothing.
I couldn't figure any of the motivations out.
There's something very strange about these people. Like, even Becca, who I connected the most to Becca and her story.
Yes.
I'm still not sure if Becca did have. Do you think she had unprotected sex with Max? Or
yes,
she definitely did.
Well, that was Becca's plan. Becca's plan. I believe this is
the sad
Becca's
part.
Plan.
Okay, see, I sort of zoned out here. This is what I didn't pick up on.
So what
she
we find
planned
out
to get pregnant with this
she
baby.
She planned the open marriage, the entire open marriage thing, so she could get pregnant. So she told
even before
Max,
she knew
correct.
That he had. Oh, wow.
Because when you hear it, like, listen, when
now
she does announce,
down.
When she announces her pregnancy at the sex club.
to Max.
Yes, to Max. That's when I was like, oh.
I came here to tell you it's over.
Just because Ron called it off?
No, because I'm calling it off.
The four of us might be off, but not me and you. Remember, this was your idea.
This wasn't about you and me, Max. You don't have to do this anymore. I'm pregnant.
That's what you wanted, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
So she was like, she was mad at, but this is
another
part.
So then I guess
part.
It is her movie because she's got the motivation behind it that she is, the machinations are hers.
I can't believe that.
I guess.
Okay, so she... Oh, wow. So it is pretty wild then that it is Ron's baby.
Oh,
well, Ron,
yeah.
But she didn't know that Ron had a 1% chance of not being able to conceive when she did have unprotected sex. She just
That's
wanted him to get
I'm
checked
saying.
Out because she's been popping those fertility
Becca
pills.
Is
I mean,
maybe more of a villain than Mindy?
It's really
true. What are those fertility pills?
I don't
Can you
know.
Just pop those?
I wanted to
I
say
think
if you
just
haven't
prenatal
had sex
vitamins.
In, but if you haven't had sex in 3 months, why are you taking these supplements?
Right. It's
like,
not like
if you're
well,
not doing
also,
the one thing you need to do.
He's also pushing them on her. He's really pushing those prenatals on her. He's like, take the pills.
But if they're not fucking, they can't
Does
do
it
anything.
Matter?
Well, he wants to fuck, but she's kind of shrugging it off, isn't she, in the beginning?
In the very beginning.
I think she's shrugging off the vitamin eating because she's like, I think that she's.
I thought maybe she was worried about his back.
I thought his back was out from fucking too much because they wanted to get pregnant.
That's workman's comp.
I mean, there you go. Now was Max in on this plan? I mean, he was, right?
Yes. And then and that's like, and that's why
God,
she's
I missed
like,
a lot of this movie. Yeah, Max was in on getting her pregnant.
It's just that one scene where they kind of.
How did I miss this?
When Max meets Becca at the club and they have their talk, what's revealed in that scene is that Becca's plan has worked. She hatched a plan for Max to suggest that they have an open marriage with them so that she can fuck Max so that she can get pregnant.
Okay.
And she says to him, I'm pregnant. So that means this all needs to stop. And he says, well, congratulations. Your plan worked, blah, blah, blah. But he's kind of upset because now it appears he's fallen for her, just like everybody else in the movie is in love with Becca. Question mark?
Oy.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not be, you know?
I would also like the readers to source, if they could, has this gym been used in other Lifetime movies?
Oh, this gym, which is kind of like, it feels like it's trying so hard. Like, I feel like this was also repurposed in a movie where a kid did drugs for the first time. It's like... Yep. Graffiti, but it's like safe graffiti, and it's they're in there working out, but they're also talking about sex.
I also thought that there was going to be something that was going on between a random gym goer and Mindy, because there was a real connection because
she shows up at the gym.
Yeah,
and she shows up at the gym, and why not have the gym people also come to Club Caligula? You know, like, but I guess probably just because
she only
they couldn't
wants
pay
to
more
fuck
actors.
Ron.
I guess so. And
she only wants to fuck Ron.
I think she
Ron,
wants
it.
To fuck Becca. Because she
I
starts
don't think
to make,
she wants
too.
To fuck Becca. She starts that's what's to fuck, so weird.
She starts to start making passes at Becca, though. Slight kisses and innuendo. And that it felt, again, that's your, not anti-gay, but like I felt like it, that's as gay as it was able to go for them.
Well,
is
yeah,
just
they would,
the hint of it.
They would be side by side because that scene was calling for the two of them to kiss. Not Ron and Max, but Becca and Mindy. Because like when she gets in her face like that, but then you reveal that the plan is they're just going to fuck each other's husbands literally side by side, which they have been doing all...
Yeah, but not side by side.
And not while Mindy holds a gun.
Yeah, so that's different. Those are the two different factors.
Also,
side by side and the element of like, you know, the stakes of someone shooting someone.
The gunplay in this movie is wildly irresponsible and mirrors in a lot of ways the same gunplay that was done in that loft in the photographer
movie.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to talk about. If you're heading to your friend's house to go to like a fuck night where all of you are gonna fuck each other. First of all, I'm like, I wouldn't want to sleep over. It's like, let's all go back to our back to bag. They're ready to sleep over. And I know they initially said like, do you want to sleep over? Okay, that's what I want to talk about. In what world? First of all, I don't even think I'd ever feel comfortable getting into someone else's bath ever.
Yeah.
Even if like I just don't think that. A bath to me is, and I love baths, but that's like so intimate. And the fact that Becca, upon waking up, gets into a bubble bath at her friend's house.
A morning bubble bath.
A morning. Now, I do know one woman in my life who takes a bath every morning.
Interesting.
Oh, wow. What?
Instead of a shower. She's a makeup artist that we probably have all... worked with, lovely person, and she has super early call time. Sometimes she's on set at like 4:50, but she has said that she can't wake up, she can't get her day going unless she sits in a bath and she bathes herself in there.
Wow.
And I do think a lot of women who don't want their hair to get wet do bathe quite a bit.
I understand. I guess I understand not wanting your hair to get wet. I would like the listeners to weigh in on how often are you bathing versus showering. I will say I could not tell you the last time I took a bath.
Same.
Period.
No, well,
same.
You're both missing out. I'm always trying to get Paul in the bath. He's never interested, but I love taking a bath. But I also don't know about taking a bath to bathe.
No, you got to take a shower afterwards.
You're supposed to.
You're just
relax.
sitting in a soup of your own stink.
You're yes. treating a bath like a hot tub, right, Junie?
Pretty much, yeah. That's like a self-care, you know, putting your stuff in.
It's
and
a lot
maybe
more about
you're like
relaxing
shaving or something. But it's relaxing.
It's a lot more about relaxing than it is cleaning up like a shower.
Now, have I been on a Zoom call or two in the bath?
Oh, boy.
Off camera? Yeah, I have.
What?
Wow. So.
How many episodes of this podcast have we recorded with you in a bath? That we
I've definitely watched a few movies.
Yeah, but that's
I get that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this much, that going over there, that house was, in many respects, very unfurnished. They probably did just move in, but they did put, like, again, like what Jason said, they found old props, like a giant cattle horn in the middle of the of this living room. The couches, no carpeting, no nothing. It was so empty and barren. It was like so hard to even find places to fuck in there. And then the only thing that they make the whole piece about before they have sex, before they get in the bath, and not even together, is Becca looks at a painting and she goes, "Oh, is this new?" And he's like, "You got a good eye." Oh. No, she doesn't have a good eye. She just recognized, like, a good I love the strokes here. It looks like this or that. That's like a good eye. She's like, you remembered the place and you've now seen a new thing. It's not a good eye. It's like,
well, you know what was so crazy about that, the beginning scene? Because, you know, it is pretty wild to have to start off like an orgy situation like that. But I'm like, the lighting was so bright. It's like they had every light on in that living room.
Yeah, they were. They were
also
creating
a vibe.
No candles, no wine,
nothing.
It also felt like, and I couldn't figure out why they did this, because I felt like the movie wanted you to believe in the inherent sexiness of this indecent proposal, kind of ooh la la, like titillating, we're going to have an open marriage. And when they hard cut to the couples at the house for the first time, it's awkward.
It's creepy.
It's silent.
Well, it's so bright.
It's silent, bright, and uncomfortable. And the movie's telling us this is bad. This is bad behavior. I feel like the movie is actually very judgmental.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very judgmental about open marriages. I feel like the movie is anti-open marriages, is anti-openness. I feel like the movie is a cautionary tale about this stuff, because what happens is someone's going to try and murder you.
I think it's
conservative. I feel like the movie is conservative.
It's a vampire. But here's the other thing.
Yeah.
The better version of this movie ultimately is two couples who are at their wits' end, or their something's not going well for them, and they both decide, why don't we have an open marriage? But we set up the other couple as being like, now we have an open marriage, and now there's nothing to fight about. But they seem as knowledgeable about it as our main characters. It's like they're not leading them in any way. They're just kind of... like, it just seems like...
Listen, we've all watched Real Sex. We know how this works.
Yeah.
You know, like, none of the conversations make sense. Nobody seems like they really want to be doing this. Like, they all seem like almost unwilling participants,
Well, there's a line that kind of encapsulated it for me was, at one point when they're talking, the two women, she says... I would never cheat. And you're like, oh, because I love my husband. She goes, no, I would never cheat because of my prenup.
Yeah.
And it's like, that really opened it up for me. It was like, oh, so you don't, like there's really.
So there's the workaround is, we're not cheating. We're having sex together so that the prenup is not triggered. Right. So
yes.
The rules for Mindy and Max are based on their actual life and marriage. But then when applied to Becca and Ron are not applicable, like they don't have a prenup. They don't have to. They can play by rules that they create that are better for them as both individuals and as a married couple through open and honest communication, something that nobody in this movie is interested in having.
No.
Except for Vulvania.
Well, Vulvania just speaks in like weird. Vulvania's just up to wordplay.
Well, here's the weird thing, though, is like, I do think that for Ron and Becca, like, they can't have a baby unless they're having sex. And when we meet them, they're not having sex. So this does sort of ignite them. And so they're able to like have a baby because of it. But ultimately, like, there's nothing. What's so weird about this movie is, like, it doesn't present that first scene, that hard cut into that bright ass living room, like, doesn't present a world in which, to us, the viewer, in which you could understand getting sucked into this. You could understand, like, being a regular person who is, like, who is titillated by this idea and fantasy. And it's just so clear that this is uncomfortable and that none of us would ever want to be in that living room.
Yeah, it really, that exactly. That's how I mean it's conservative. Like, it's none of it is attractive. It's just forcing these people through the machinations of this. Yeah. And then the results are deadly. Like, the results are murderous. Like, you better...
If you go to that sex club, you will be found out and you will lose your livelihood. Like, it was also like, yes, there are penalties for everything.
If you open yourself up to this kind of thing, even if you consent to it, you will be punished. Like, any kind of divergent sexual needs, wants, or anything you participate in, you will be somehow punished for, you know?
Do they ever have fun in this world? That was my big takeaway. I don't think...
Well, that's the thing is, like, I think Vulvania and the mannequins are the only people having fun in this world.
I mean, honestly, the most fun they seem to have, or the most, like, is when they're asleep, like, snuggling up to these other people in separate rooms.
But for a movie that's so much about, or when they fall asleep in the sex club, but that's so much about sex, like, when they do, like, when, after the first scene in which Max and Mindy tell them about open relationship, open marriage, et cetera, et cetera, and Becca and Ron go home and they're so charged up from hearing about it, they end up having sex, right? Yeah. And they haven't had sex in a while. And the sex scene's, like, final moment, the cum shot of their sex scene is just her bra landing on the floor.
That bra landing straight up, like
slow-mo landing on the... That's, like, as hot as it gets,
the way,
is a bra hitting the... Not anybody's body, is a bra hitting the floor. Like, it's almost like, can you imagine how hot this
but
is?
But I also feel like that bra, and not that, like, not, I'm not knocking this at all after I've taken a horrible takedown on curly hair, was like, it was a...
Really horrible fall. I agree with, you know, Molly. Like, I thought her hair was beautiful.
Loved it. I loved
her liked
hair.
Her better with the straight hair, but I don't think...
Hashtag give me those curls, baby!
Like, wow, Paul.
But I don't think anything... Less of
personal preference.
By the way, certain people I think look better with curly hair. I'm just saying, if she was to ask me, what do you prefer? And we were having a casual conversation around the pool with red wine in the afternoon, as one does. Red wine and an afternoon outdoor hot day is what I always like to drink.
Out in the hot sun with a absolutely roasting glass of hot red wine.
I would say
could you microwave
Cabernet?
It's like, you know, like, sometimes, like, somebody will, like, put an ice cube in their white wine. I would love it if someone was like, I'm so sorry, could you take this Pinot Noir and just nuke it for 15 seconds in the microwave, please?
This movie. I just want to play one more time the clip of Mindy's reveal, because this reveal is, I think, you know, we talked a lot about
it. I thought Mindy was amazing.
Mindy was great.
Incredible.
Real villain. A real villain turn.
Wait. You're the one who put our pictures on the Caligula app?
Guilty as charged.
Why would you do that to Ron? He lost his job over it. This thing you've got for Ron has got to stop right now.
You think that all of this is about Ron?
Yes, sweetheart, you're obsessed.
You're damn right I'm obsessed. But not with Ron.
I'm your secret admirer.
When she says, I'm your secret admirer.
Incredible.
Genuinely spooky. And
but again, I
committed.
Will say this. Why? Why? What's the story? What is Mindy's
story? Well, we don't
know. Why is this happening?
We won't ever know, Jason.
I know, but yeah.
We won't ever know. I think that Mindy is sort of like a demented person, and there's something very basic about Becca. And this part of Mindy I could understand, that like sometimes I see, you know, wine moms and sort of your basic women on Instagram or whatever, and there's sort of a fascination with their lives. And I think because Becca is so bland.
Right.
And is so normal.
But here's
sort
what
of
I'll
fascination
say.
With her.
I understand that, but I think I'm going to say that the movie is arguing, again, I will say, a very conservative agenda, which is that anybody who wants you to open up your marriage, to have sex out of your marriage, anybody who wants that kind of wildness must be like also capable of murder. They are a bad person who are there trying to destroy your life. And the only way that you can succeed is to kill that person. And your reward will be that your husband's cum works.
Oh,
well, I mean, I do. Listen, I do think that I'm sorry. I will say this. I've never seen, I've known several people have opened up their relationships, not necessarily marriages, but relationships. I've never seen it work out well.
No, it's never going to work out well.
Now, this is the thing, though. It's like that date is also hard because it's like most relationships don't work out. So
yes.
I think it's very challenging to do. And to me, one out of four people who are open to open marriages becoming a murderer is, I actually thought that that was conservative.
But that's what I think it is conservative in the other
no.
way. You know what I mean? Like, I think the movie is espousing to its lifetime mom audience conservative values, which is these people are dangerous.
Right.
These people who have these ideas are dangerous.
Right.
They're bad. They don't just want to fuck you. They want
stay
to kill
in your
you.
Committed.
They want your life. They want your normal
vampires,
life. They're
sexual
murderers.
Vampires.
They're bad people.
And they want you to stay in a committed relationship and having babies and having the man be the primary breadwinner. God damn it, this movie is about that.
And also, everyone is jacked. Everyone in the movie is fucking jacked. Everybody in this movie looks great. All the
amazing.
Time. They are always at like peak physical, like they must have done 50 push-ups or sit-ups right before each take. Everybody is like ready to go. Even when Mindy is pointing a gun at them and forcing them all to fuck at the end of the movie, the guys are like, they're fucking, their chests and abs are popping. They are jacked.
Seeing Ron sit on the couch like eating Doritos and eating pizza, I'm like, no, I'm so sorry. You don't have that body and put like any bit of processed anything into it.
That's why he didn't question the prop person when they brought over a bowl of Doritos. He's like, oh yes, that's how people would eat a Dorito. They would measure out, I could have 1/4 of a cup of Doritos while I watch my football game, while I drink my gluten-free
but
beer.
Actually, that is how somebody who's in that good shape would eat Doritos.
True.
They'd be like, I can have 7 Doritos a night. That's my
God. God, it's so sad. Like, as much as I admire that type of like physical, you know, discipline, I'm just like, what a way to live. You know?
What a way to live.
Oh yeah.
But you know what? Obviously we have opinions about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
The movie was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
Obviously, it's a Lifetime movie. Not many reviews out there. The average rating is about 3 out of 5. There's only 26 reviews, like I said. 32% are 5-star reviews. And here, we'll just jump right into it. This one was from Rose Sharber. And Rose writes, I love this. Please put it out on DVD to buy. Need to make more. 5 stars. Then this one.
I agree. I'd love a continuation.
I'm ready to go. The Real T-Bone writes on August 30th, 2022. Fun plot. Check. Fun cast. Check. We need more movies like this. 5 stars. And then I've started.
I don't disagree.
I am on Letterboxd. I love Letterboxd. It's like a social media for film watchers. And Letterboxd. This is from C. Body, and C. Body goes, I said I'd give it 5 stars if he fixes the cabinet door, and he did. So 5 stars. And amazing. There you go. Those are some 5-star reviews from Open Marriage. But I want to give you some details about this movie. This movie was written by Jason Byers. Jason Byers wrote Bad Nanny and The Tryst, a.k.a. The Husband, The Wife, and Their Lover. Those are his two latest films that both came out in 2022.
Not to be confused with the Peter Greenaway movie, The Cook, The Thief, His Wife, right. and Her Lover. Which is also truly a very erotic movie.
And talking about erotic films, Sam Irvin, the director, was a producer on Gods and Monsters. Yes, that Gods and Monsters with Brendan Fraser. Great movie. But then directed movies like Mile High Escorts, Check Into Christmas. Well, that doesn't seem like a sexy one.
I love that you started saying that title in a sexy way and then bailed when you got to Christmas.
I know. I thought they were all going to
check into Christmas.
Engaged to a Psycho and Guilty as Charged.
Engaged to a Psycho. Yes. Oh, my God.
It was also shot under the working title of To Have and To Kill. So there you go.
With this movie was,
yeah, before it became Open.
To Have and To Kill. Because
To Have and To Hold.
Interesting.
To Have and To Kill.
Yeah.
I mean, and the tagline for this movie, with a 69% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, was, some relationships shouldn't be shared. Ooh, there it is.
Huh.
I mean, can't get any better than that.
A cautionary, that's, again, some relationships shouldn't be shared is, again, if it's a commentary on open marriages in a negative way. Mm-hmm. It's saying you shouldn't do this. Marriage is between two people, period. If you open it up, you will get shot or conked in the head by a flea market clock. Like, the movie is decidedly anti-openness.
And when she does hit her with that flea market clock, there's a moment where she doesn't seem at all injured from a hit.
Holy shit, that was so funny. Mindy is like, wait, what?
She looks, raises the gun, and at that point I'm like, hit her again, hit her again.
Or
somebody grab the gun.
Yes.
Everybody just sits there watching her kind of woozily, like, you know, woozily hold her head looking confused. Like, did someone just conk me in the head?
We're trying to kill you, you psycho. Because what's the end game of that? They all fuck. And then what would have happened?
Yeah. Yeah. What is Mindy's plan? Again, I went in these
Nobody
other
knows.
Movies, in the Fatal Attractions and the Single White Females, I get what the plan is. What is Mindy's plan? What is her character want? And that is what's I'm struggling
with. I totally agree. Well,
everything else makes total
sense. And the
sense.
Movie works out perfectly. Would you recommend watching this movie? I definitely would.
I don't know. I kept waiting. I kept wanting it to tip into a movie I wanted to be watching. It was fun, but I kept wanting it to be a little bit more itself. But when you said Lifetime, I understood why.
Let me tell you one thing, too, and I want to hear, June, what you think about this. But I'll say, like, I watched half of this movie at night and half during the day. When I watch it at night, it felt sexy. When I watch it during the day, it felt sad. And there is a little interesting, I was like, ooh. And then I watch it in the morning. I was like, oh, huh. It was a little like, it was a different vibe going on in the morning watching this.
I mean, obviously I watched it in the sauna, Ben.
Yeah.
I did not find this movie to be sexy.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. And boy, did I want it to be. I wanted it to be like a Red Shoe Diaries entry with like Duchovny.
I mean, so June, not a recommendation, huh?
No, not a recommendation.
Okay. There we go. Yeah.
Not for me.
Only
either.
Me. Jason, June, before we go, is there anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to tell the good people out there to watch, do, listen to?
I'll throw out Star Trek Prodigy,
Jason's
everybody.
Jason's great on that.
Just finished our season. It's a terrific show. Please watch. Please watch.
I am watching. The only thing I'll say I'm watching that I'm really enjoying is Paul T. Goldman, Jason Molnar's show on Peacock.
Oh, yes. And he is a guest on our Last Look, so you'll hear from Jason about that. If you've not watched it, it's really great. The short pitch is it's a true crime story, a parody of a true crime story, a documentary about a documentary, and kind of a launch of a superhero.
I would say just watch
it. So much.
Just watch it. And it's so interesting. And the discovery of having not known anything about it, I have been so right,
well,
enjoying
I mean,
it.
Yeah.
I will also shout out, and I have no involvement in it, but I'm loving the show High School, the Tegan and Sarah story that Clea DuVall has been making at Freevee. It is fantastic and deserves a much bigger audience than it's getting. So please get out there and watch
and
High
I'll
School.
Also just shout out that Rob Hubel and I hosted this thing called Celebrity Yard Sale. We did it over two nights here in Los Angeles, like a live show where celebrities came and sold their shit. And we had great people on the show. You can check that out on my YouTube page. People like Nicole Byer, Carl Tart, Kumail Nanjiani, Ben Lee did a musical performance. Atsuko Akatsuka came on. So many people I'm forgetting that we all the people that we had. So definitely check that out. We're on my YouTube page. There you go. You can watch the whole thing. And a big thank you to our amazing team, our producers, Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, our engineer, Alex Gonzalez, and our movie picking producer, Avril Halley, and our publisher, July Diaz. We will be back with more How Did This Get Made next week for Last Looks. Bye for now. How did this get made?
You were up at 4, baking pastries at 5, and open at 6. 100th cappuccino by 8, 200th customer by 9, and there's still 12 hours to go. That's why you need a business broadband that works as hard as you do. Introducing Sky Business. With 4G internet backup and our stay connected guarantee, that's better business. To find out more, visit skybusiness.com. Sky Fiber only, 30-second 4G activation or one-off credit. New customers, pro plus packs only. T's and C's apply.